Welcome to DIY Eco Guy. I'm your host, Chris Graber. I'm an engineer, a nature lover, and I'm concerned about climate change. This podcast is about simple DIY sustainability solutions you can implement in your home and community. I do the research and tackle projects at my house and share what I've learned with you. So let's have fun while making an impact on our world, one action at a time. Welcome to episode 5, Cool Walls, Less Air Conditioning. So it's been a warm one here in the desert in Tucson already this summer. Last summer, I believe we set a record for 55 days straight of 105 plus degree temperatures. We had a lot of 110 degree days. It was a bit extreme. There was, we often get rains in the latter part of the summer, but in my particular area of town, we didn't really get much of that. So it was just hot, hot, hot. And so coming around this winter, I started thinking, hey, okay, what can I do for next summer to keep my house cooler, try to use less AC, less energy, etc. And so I started doing some research and coming up with some simple solutions, some things that aren't even very expensive at all, that could have a major effect on our home and its energy use and how much heat we put back out through our air conditioner into the neighborhood. So I'll go into why should we focus on cool walls to begin with, how to keep them cooler, measuring wall temperatures, I got a little bit nerdy on that, and ground temperatures, look into cooling ceilings and roofs, general comfort during heat waves, and things like that. So just to start, there's a good quote from Watershed Management Group, which is a local nonprofit. Tucson is 11 degrees warmer on average than it was 100 years ago. Half of that increase, or 5.5 degrees, is attributed to the urban heat island effect. And Project Drawdown mentioned recently, roughly one-third of the solutions to combat climate change are best implemented at the household or family level. So I started thinking about what can I do with my property, and WMG came out with the Cool Tucson 5 Degrees initiative with a bunch of different tips. So I honed in on the cool walls topic just because it's something that's easy to quantify. I went and measured my wall temperatures, like with and without shade, and it's pretty interesting. So, keeping your exterior walls cooler during hot weather, they can really help decrease the amount of energy your air conditioner consumes and decrease the amount of very hot, hot air your AC's condenser that's outside expels out into the outdoor air. So, I figured this topic is good. I have friends that live very far north of here that are also experiencing some bad heat waves. So some of this could apply not just to the desert, but anybody that's dealing with 90 or 100 degree plus temperatures kind of anywhere. So obviously there are a lot of different kinds of home designs and layouts and different types of walls and all sorts of different things. And but if you can help your home decrease its contribution to the urban heat island effect, that's going to help everybody else, all of your neighbors, the whole town, etc. So a lot of that is happening in the summer with people's air conditioners spewing out that hot air. So the less you can run your AC but still remain comfortable, the better. So my particular home, it's about 50 years old. And it's very simple design, kind of a ranch style design. It uses concrete blocks, they're called slump blocks, for the walls. And it has a very low slung roof that's coated in white. It's pretty simple design. It could use more insulation. The design could be better, but it has a few points about it that are good that maybe some folks in other areas could learn from the design as well. And so I'm not going to get so much into all the other things beyond wall temperature cooling that I've done, like in my entire yard, such as rainwater harvesting and planting trees for shade and stuff like that. I'm mostly gonna focus on the wall cooling, just specific topic. But I did want to say there's a general starting point you might want to consider. So they have what's called it's called a full home energy audit. That can be helpful since it's looking at a lot of different pieces. Air leaks, insulation, your HVAC system, windows, etc., etc. Energy.gov, their website, has some good information for professional and DIY options. You might want to go check that out and just do some research. See if you can get federal tax credits too for any audit or any home upgrades. There are just a long, long list of things that you can do to upgrade your home, but it might start out by doing an audit and just seeing kind of the cost benefit of different approaches. So just to keep it simple for this podcast episode, I just wanted to look mostly at the walls. Now, one of the main reasons is I learned they often have a lot less insulation than roofs. Sometimes they can have about half the amount of resistance to heat flow that a roof has. So that's not good. Why aren't our walls designed better, right? So cool exterior walls are an important energy efficiency and climate consideration. So a couple simple things. Obviously, the less direct sunlight is on the walls and the nearby ground, the better. And that extends into your whole yard because all the air around your entire property is going to affect your wall temperature. So obviously, if you're going to design a new home, you might want to think very carefully about what wall materials you're using. But if you just live in an existing home, there's some other simple things you can do. So it's not surprising. White paint is really great, right? And if you can get any kind of overhang from your roof so that less sunlight is hitting your walls during the summer, but more light hits your walls during the winter, that's an obvious win, right? So just want you to picture a wall and the sun beating down on it on a very hot day, especially like here, the west-facing walls. In the afternoon, when it's 100 plus out, those walls just really take a beating. So think of the sun just beating down on that wall. And one of the terms is solar reflectance. So that's the fraction of solar energy that's reflected by the wall. And then there's thermal emittance, which is the relative ability of the wall surface to radiate heat. And then think about some of the heat being absorbed by the wall and transferred into the building through time. So a lot of times you could think about the wall is warming up all afternoon and into the evening, the sun goes down, that wall's stored a lot of heat in it, and part of that is going to be transferred into the building and will need to be cooled off. So it's an incredible amount of energy. And so, yeah. How to cool walls. Shading the wall can really help cool it down. I'll get into some numbers around that. But don't forget the ground right next to, if that's extra hot or even under your home, think about that. Like if the ground is really, really warm, some of that warmth is going to extend under the home. And here we notice that. With tiles being a little bit warmer, right, like next to the tile floors, like right next to the wall. So obviously think about your ultra hot roof as well. So I've been optimizing our external wall temperatures in a couple of different ways. A really simple one is obviously, can you have trees and other native plants around your home? Depends on your layout, etc. Like our west wall, I really don't have enough space to have a lot growing. It's a small area there before we go over to our neighbor's yard. So I looked into shade sales and got some relatively inexpensive shade sales and put them all over our east and west walls. And I have done planting of native shade trees and stuff, especially on the east side, but they're still small. I'm waiting for them to take hold, right? So it's a shade sale city on our east and west walls. Now, obviously, the north wall, that's not getting much sun. It gets a little bit in the morning. I have a shade sale kind of on the corner of a wall so that our bedroom doesn't get too hot. But then, you'll notice, obviously, like the sun comes up in a different spot on the horizon every morning. Once it gets into the winter, it's much further south, and we don't get any shade on our north wall. I mean, any sun on our north wall. And we do get some sun on our south wall, but that's a beneficial thing. It warms up the home when it's cold out in the winter. So this house does have a cool design with that because there's a little bit of a roof overhang. So all summer, that south wall is not getting direct sunlight because the roof is overhanging and blocks that sun a bit. And then in the winter, the angle's just right that a good amount of the wall gets the sun. So anyway, shade sails, they're relatively inexpensive, easy to take down in the winter when we don't want the walls to be shaded. We want them to be warmed by the sun. They have different types, all different materials. A lot of them are HDPE, which is plastic. That's not the greatest material in terms of fossil fuel usage and pollution during the manufacturing and delivery steps, etc. There is a group here in Tucson that's working on taking non-recyclable plastic and turning it into 22-pound construction blocks. So that might be a thing that I could do with some older shade sails if they, fall apart and don't last. But I also have some cloth shade sails as well. But one of the issues that's come up is we get some pretty extreme winds during our monsoon period in the second half of the summer. So some of these shade sails take a beating. So that's something I'm trying to work out. You can set them up so you can clip them off when a storm's coming. It's kind of a pain to be putting them up and down, but anyway, that's a whole other thing. One of the other pieces, so okay, there's your wall. You can try to shade it. You can try to have trees growing. You can use shade sails as needed, etc. Trellises with native vines and things like that. All different kinds of ideas there. Another one is just right next to your wall. What is going on? Is it concrete outside? Are there rocks? What are there plants? What's the deal? So in my yard, I removed just, I don't even know, hundreds of thousands of small rocks that were covering our whole backyard. They retained a lot of heat. My dog couldn't walk on them. They were It just the yard was really plain when we moved in, just a bunch of rocks, which is like a total Arizona thing. And it's great because you don't have to water the rocks. You're not going to waste precious water. However, they get really hot, kind of not the nicest to look at. So that's where rainwater harvesting came in, which is basically taking roof off of our roof. Water off of our roof, not roof off our roof. And having that go to basins or depressions in our yard. And planting those with native plants and shade trees. And then making paths with that are mulched paths and using mulch in the basins, etc., etc. It's a whole system. I also put in gray water. I have another episode about that. And so that can drastically cool down your yard. That can be a fair amount of work, whatever, but think initially just about what is right there, right next to your wall on the ground, right? Just right there. And is there something that you could do to just start very close to your home? Just some people are removing concrete and making paths that are, you know, either dirt or mulched, or have pavers that allow like rainwater to travel through them into the ground. A lot of different ideas there, but just what can you do right next to your wall? And is it possible to better insulate some of your walls? Now, that's really going to depend on your home's layout and everything, but I was able to insulate. We have a utility room on the inner wall of the west side of the home, and we had an opportunity to kind of rework that wall when we moved in and had to replace our AC system and stuff, and so we put extra insulation in there on that part of the west wall, and that really, really helped. And then there were some other pieces too that where I was able to add some more insulation. And one just total hack was in our garage. It gets pretty warmed up. I just put a 20-inch box fan that expels air through the whirly bird. I did so that it not runs at night. Parking a hot car in your garage, I mean, that releases heat for just hours, and that hot garage, if it's attached to your home, you know, warms up the rest of your home, warms up walls, and then that some of that energy gets transferred into your house. So anyway, I have some pictures up on my website, DIYEcoGuy.com. If you look at the article about cool walls, you can see all these shade sails and different things that I've been doing with the rainwater harvesting, etc., and mulching, and etc., etc., just to get an idea of how much shadier it is. And to go into measuring wall temperature, so I have a unit, it's called a flurry unit. You can plug it into an iPhone, and it's infrared imaging. There's much cheaper ones on Amazon, same kind of idea, just looking at like what is the temperature of the surface. So I went out just in May when it was only 90 degrees. The top of our AC condenser box outside was 135 degrees. The exposed wall was 105 degrees. And obviously, shaded areas were much cheaper. We have some bricks on the ground. They were in a shaded spot. They were 91 degrees, etc. So I looked at some ground temperatures. We have a shade sail in an area with brick on the ground. It was 138 degrees in full sunlight on a 95 degree day. So 138 degrees on those bricks. Don't let your dog walk on that. And then under a shade sail, those bricks were 90 degrees. So it's almost 50 degrees cooler just by putting up a $20 shade sail, right? And they come in all different shapes and sizes, and you're going to have to figure out how to mount it safely, especially if you're in a windy area. That's a whole separate topic. But if you have the ability to set up some shade sails and it's, feasible for your home, that might be something to think about as a quick band-aid that really makes a big, big, big impact. So, yeah. And just on the cool ceilings, obviously if you keep your roof and your ceiling cool, There's a bunch of different ways you can do that. It really depends on your home, but you might want to think about having a lighter color roof. So here we have white elastomeric coating on our really low slung roof, and it's designed to deal with the heat. We need way more insulation than there is underneath the top of that roof. Our design of our home is not ideal in that aspect. But yeah, think about the design of your home and what could be done long term. Could you put in more trees that shade part of the roof? Could you use a lighter colored material for your roof, etc., etc.? If you're like me and you're in the desert, make sure your elastomeric roof coating, make sure that is recoated on a regular basis. We just had like a major storm come through with 80 mile an hour winds, and some people's roofs had major issues, homes flooded, parts of the roof flew off, etc. So you really want to make sure your roof is in good shape. You can put in rooftop solar if you're able to. That shades some sections of the roof. Then you have to think about, okay, we want to make sure that obviously the section with the solar panels gets a lot of sun. So things to think about there in terms of, what shade trees you might have in which different locations and things like that. Some of my insulation was actually missing under a part of my roof. I found that out with that infrared camera. I was like, why is the room in the back on the west side where we have our laundry machine, why is it so hot? And I figured out, oh my gosh, this whole section of the roof, it didn't have any insulation in there. So once I remedied that, that really helped. So anyway, on to general comfort during heat waves. Obviously, number one, setting your AC to a higher temperature will have it run much less, but then you're going to be warm inside. So here's some tips. So obviously, ceiling fans, number one, they use very little energy. They're not actually like changing the temperature of the air, but because the air is moving, it really helps you feel cooler. And they're great in your bedroom at night. So if you are able to use fans, that can really help. It might be pretty warm inside, but you won't feel it as much. So don't forget about your air conditioner's built-in fan for your whole home. That processes a lot of air and can keep air circulating through the whole home. So that circulation, that can really help. Ours has a circulate mode, so it doesn't have to just be on all the time or on only when the AC is cooling the air. You can set it on ours, to run so it's recirculating every 20 minutes or something like that. So different options there, but that's just another one, like ceiling fans, to keep the air moving in your home, but in, energy efficient way, right? So obviously hydrate, eat a lot of cool foods, ice cubes, take a shower. Obviously, here in the desert, we don't want to waste too much water, but just a really quick shower can really help. Keep your windows and blinds closed. So that's a big one. That really helps. You'd be surprised. I did infrared readings on all the different windows in our home, and the difference is just massive if you have windows and blinds closed up. So, think about changing your AC settings too on a schedule. So use it less during the high demand or peaks like the afternoon or early evening. You can sometimes, a lot of times now, you can program your thermostat. So there's a lot of optimization that can be done there. So, and if you have solar, maybe you could run your AC to really cool your home off during the day and then use it a bit less in the evening, so when the sun goes down. Because the cooler all of your surfaces in your home are, I mean, it really adds up in terms of how much AC you're gonna need. So, so wipe down with a wet towel, use a fan or a spritzer. I mentioned the really short shower. Hop in a river if you have one. So, sleeping in a cool room obviously can really help your health. You might want to think about if you're somewhere really hot, like we are, we use linen sheets and just really lightweight bedding and cool pillows and things like that. There's a bunch of different things you can do there, but being comfy while you're sleeping is like number one. So, home design for hot and cold weather. If you think about when it comes to energy efficiency, especially if you're moving to a house that's new to you, just think about the general layout and design. So, like, obviously, here in the desert, if you see really dark colored roofs, you kind of think, oh, oops, that's not the smartest design, probably. And you might want to think about homes where the east and west walls are a bit shorter and the north and south walls are longer. So that means the sun hits the smaller wall surfaces in general, and that's going to really help with energy efficiency. And so, obviously, I mentioned before the roof with an overhang, that can really help if you get that optimized so that your walls are having less sun on them in the summer and more in the winter. You can think about what kind of trees and shrubs and things you have around your home as well to do that same sort of thing. Let that light come through in the winter and then not so much in the summer. Obviously, a smaller home that's not multiple stories, that's gonna help. Have you been into a house on the second floor when it's a really hot day? I mean, that second floor really warms up, right? So, so, more insulation, thicker walls, better windows, better shades. And you can look into, they call them like cellular or honeycomb shades. I think shades.com I saw have some pretty good deals. Think about drapes. Just less exposed concrete and hard surfaces near the walls. And you might want to think about the location of your condenser for your air conditioner. That's the thing with the big fan that's outside. You might want to think about, is that it located in a really sunny spot? It shouldn't be. They often are. Sometimes they're on a roof. So if that unit is in a shadier spot in general, that's going to help it be a lot more efficient. Also, sometimes they put them right next to a wall. Well, those expel so much hot air. What if that was a little bit further away from the wall? That would be a smart design, right? And just a final thing is think about modern, they call them tight buildings. So a lot of buildings leak very little air to the outdoors, and that is more energy efficient. But if there isn't proper ventilation put in place, then you might have poorer indoor air quality. So there's a bunch of different factors there. Lots of things to think about with this topic. But if you're thinking about getting a home that's new to you, you might want to look at the design a bit, and you might want to think about ventilation. I have another article that's about a unit that is, they call it mechanical ventilation. It's a way to, which is very common in commercial settings, but not so much in homes. It's just a way to pull in air from the outdoors and filter it before it hits your air conditioner and goes into your rest of your home. And so it's quote unquote better than just opening a window or something. So anyway, if you're getting a house and it has a lot of building materials that are new, think about how some people react to new car smells like enclosed in a small space. So versus older homes that quote unquote breathe more, some of those might actually have better indoor air quality overall, but higher utility costs. So it's just something to think about and just to be aware of, that the most energy efficient home maybe by default doesn't necessarily have the best indoor air quality. So it's this trade-off. You want to kind of think that through a bit. So some links here that are cool. You can look up the Cool Roof Rating Council. It's a nonprofit. They have all these ways to evaluate and label different kinds of roof products and exterior wall products and stuff. So if you want to geek out, you can look on there. They have the directory of all those products, and they have a bunch of resources for homeowners. It's interesting. Check out Brad Lancaster's site. He's got a lot, like multi-pronged approaches to cooling homes and yards. That's harvestingrainwater.com. Also cool articles on there about sun and shade harvesting. And contact your electric company. Do they have programs or rebates? Ours has an efficient home program, partners with AC companies. So for new AC and heat pump installations, some of those take advantage of local and federal rebates. So just think about that. That's it on Cool Walls. All right. I'd love to hear from you. My email is chris@diyecoguy.com. I'm on social media at @DIYEcoGuy. Do you have any questions, topics you'd like me to cover? What's your perspective? What are you curious about? I'm here to help make sustainability more simple. So I look forward to sharing more with you on the next episode. And until then, thanks for listening to the DIY Eco Guy podcast. Take it easy and get rad.